found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the little word "but" at the beginning of the verse gives you the contrast with those that have been spoken about before. Can I emphasize to you at the beginning of the message tonight the need to be a witness for Christ? Can impress upon your hearts the truth that's taught in the Word of God, that every Christian, without exception, every Christian should be a witness for the Saviour and should be a witness for the gospel. The reality, brethren and sisters, and I want to take opportunity tonight to remind you of it, is that a Christian, if you profess the name of Christ, this applies to you. A Christian is one that speaks for and speaks of the Lord, and especially speaks of the Lord Jesus and all that he means to us and all that he has done for us. The book of Acts, in chapter 1, the verse 8, that's the key verse of the book of Acts. It's a summary of the entire book as well. It states very clearly, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And I pray the Lord will write that upon your heart. And we pray that through that verse tonight that you'll have renewed to you something of what the will of God is for your life as you live here day by day. And can I say that as we think of being a witness for Christ, that that is never more necessary, than in days of apostasy, days of darkness, days when there is a great turning away from the things of the Lord. And those are the sort of days that we live in, the days that we're found in this end time age. The Bible reveals to us that God had many such witnesses. Remember, the Bible teaches clearly that the Lord has never left himself without a witness in all the years of history, going back to the very beginning. And it will be true looking forward to the very end, although the light of gospel truth will burn dimly as the time of the end approaches. But God has never will leave himself without a witness. You think of men like Elijah, the faithful witness that he made for the Lord in those dark days when Ahab and Jezebel ruled in the kingdom. You think of Jeremiah. Think of what Jeremiah suffered, all that he experienced, the persecution, the threats against his life. And all that he sought to do was faithfully declare the word of God, particularly in the city of Jerusalem. Think of Daniel there in that evil city of Babylon, the very capital of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the capital of the kingdom of Babylon itself. And Daniel, right into old age, remained faithful to the Lord. What a challenge that is to us. John the Baptist in the New Testament times. And his witness was so clear, his witness was so strong, his witness was so effective that it cost him his life. He lost his head because he stood firm for the Lord. So they were all such men, examples of such men of which we're speaking tonight. Those that were faithful to the Lord in witnessing, declaring his word in the darkest days of the history of this world. And so too was Noah, brethren and sisters. That's how you find Noah. That's how he stands out for us here in this passage and in subsequent chapters of the book of Genesis that are found before us. The New Testament, remember the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture. The New Testament throws light upon the old. Peter, giving us a New Testament commentary on the life of Noah, said that Noah was a preacher, and he was a preacher of righteousness. So all the while that he was building was the only thing he did. As well as building, he was a witnesser. He was a preacher. He was noted for his speaking, his preaching, his witnessing for God. And I want us to think of Noah in that manner tonight. I want us to consider the witness that Noah made for the Lord in that very dark, in that very wicked day. The days in history that preceded, that led up to what we describe as Noah's flood. Can I emphasize to you, first of all, the times in which he witnessed? It's very relevant to us. The times in which Noah witnessed. Think of the question, what sort of times did Noah live in? What sort of days did Noah preaching? And the answer, men and women, is simply this. It was the worst of times. Let me stress that to you. Noah lived. Noah labored. Noah ministered. In the worst of times, morally and spiritually. You notice verse 5 in the chapter that we read. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination, think of it, every imagination, not some, but every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. There was no good, only evil. And notice it says, continually, there was nothing but wickedness that passed through the hearts and the thoughts of men and women. Look as well at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So I want you to see, I want you to understand tonight. Let there be no doubt in your mind that Noah, in his faithfulness, witnessed for God in the worst of times, one of the worst periods ever of the history of this world. Sin and wickedness were at its height. You know that the New Testament, in Matthew 24, looking forward to the end time age, the age in which we are found, says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, that's a commentary too on the days in which Noah lived. They were such days. Iniquity abounded on every hand and on every side. It's interesting, there in verse 4, mention is made of the sons of God. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. It's interesting to study what actually the sons of God were. I'm not going to take the time to go into that tonight. Perhaps some other evening we'll look at it in a little more detail. But either way, whatever view you take, there are two main views. One is it was fallen angels, the other the line of Cain, that evil, that wicked line, that wicked seed. But either way, whichever way you take it, the result was this. Giants. There were giants in the earth in those days. And that's an interesting study too, men and women. The giants were very significant in the history of Israel. They were a satanic force that God raised up to oppose Israel and to oppose their possession, their inheriting of the promised land. But here in this chapter, in the study that we have before us, the verses that are revealed, God gives to us the origin of the giants. But what I want to stress to you tonight is this, as we think of those giants, they were not only giants in stature, as far as their physical frame, their physical size was concerned, they were also giants as far as their sin was concerned. And I want you to note that, men and women. I want to underline that in the service this evening. I've told you of Rowland Hill, that famous English preacher of a former time that ministered in London in a place called Wapping one time, and he described the people of that area as Wapping great sinners. Well, that sums up Genesis chapter 6, the days in which Noah lived, the days in which he held forth as a witness for God. All around them were Wapping great sinners. That was the mark of society. That was the mark of the generation. That was the mark of the day in which Noah lived. They were giants, and they were giants as far as their sin was concerned. The sin of those days was staggering. The sin that men engaged in, the sin that they practiced, was of unprecedented proportions. Is that what the passage says? The wickedness of man was great. Notice the word great added, the adjective that's included there by the Spirit of God. The wickedness of men was great in the earth. And that, men and women, is not only a description of Noah's day. That's a description of our day, the day in which we live. It's true of our land, even at this particular time. As you think of the greatness of their sin, that the wickedness was great, let me mention some of those sins to you. These people were giants in the sins of imagination, thinking of their mind, their thoughts. Look there at verse 5, the end of the verse, that every imagination, everything that was going through their mind. Now, you think of their thoughts, the sort of thought pattern they had. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There is a saying, I'm sure you're familiar with it, talking of people that they have a mind like a sewer. The sort of things they say, it reveals to you the sort of heart, the sort of mind, the sort of thinking that they have, a mind like a sewer. Well, here you have it, men and women. Those are the sort of people that were living in the days of Noah. Never had they a thought of anything good, of anything righteous, anything moral, or anything pure. It says that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil and continually. Do you see the strength of the words that the Spirit of God uses here in the description? The reality is the devil controlled their thoughts and controlled their thoughts totally. And remember, as we consider that, men and women, you learn there that the Lord knows what's in your heart. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what's going through your mind. The Lord knows the thoughts that you have. He knows what your thoughts are like. He knows the very meditations of your heart as you sit in this gospel service tonight. There's nothing hidden from the Lord. He knows the hearts of all men. Not only were they giants in sins of imagination, they were giants in sins of injury. If you look there at verse 11 says that the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now again, notice the words. It doesn't just say that there was violence. It says the earth, taking in the cosmos, the globe, the earth in those days was filled with violence. And notice in verse 13 again that God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. So the statement's repeated. Remember, the Lord does that for emphasis. He doesn't want you to miss it. Doesn't want you to overlook that particular detail. There's a reference here to violence. We all understand that term. We have lived through 30 years and more of violence here in this province of ours. I want you to see, as you look at this passage, it's taking us back some 4,000 years to the days of Noah. Violence is nothing new, men and women, nothing new as far as this world is concerned. Violence is physical force, and physical force was dominant. It was very much to the fore in the days in which Noah lived. There was injury to people, to their bodies. There was fighting. There was bloodshed. There was murder. There was mutilation of bodies. There was beatings. All the things that go with violence took place back then in the days of Noah. You think, men and women, of our own earth, our own world. It says in the text, the earth was filled with violence. Don't we see that in the news? Even over this weekend, the United States of America, within the space of 24 hours, two mass shootings. One where at least 20 were killed, shot dead. The other were 10, including the gunman that were shot dead. In addition to that, there's another 42 perhaps that have been injured, some very seriously. So we see that in our own day, that these times are coming again upon the earth. But not only was there injury to people, I want you to see as well that there was injury to property. When you think of violence, the two go hand in hand. Burning and destroying. No respect for another person's property. You think as well of Nineveh. We're considering here the days of Noah. Come forward a little in time to the ministry of Jonah. The Lord sent him to that great city to preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And whenever Jonah ministered, when he eventually obeyed the call of God in his life and he went to that great city, the Lord blessed his ministry amongst them, and the king was spoken to. The king sent out a message to his people to turn from the violence that was in their hands. Isn't that interesting? We think of violence as being just a modern thing, something that only came about in the last few decades, maybe the last century or so. So I want you to see that even Jonah, when he went to Nineveh, this was something that confronted them, and they were urged by their king when God came in that great visitation to turn from the violence that was in their hands. As you think of terrorism tonight and the rise of terrorism internationally, how we need to pray that God will watch over us and our families, preserve us. You just don't know when an incident will take place. But I want you to remember this, men and women, as you think of the rise of terrorism. Terrorists can be saved. Terrorists can be converted. You have a very notable example of that in the New Testament scriptures. The man known as Simon Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were the dagger men of New Testament times. They were the political terrorists of those days. They were unhappy with the Roman rule, the Roman government, its control of the land of Israel. And Simon was one of those political terrorists. But he was converted. The Lord Jesus converted him. And you think of the word the Zealots. They were men that were known for their passion. They were men that were known for their zeal. And the Lord channeled that zeal at once that he channeled into terrorism. The Lord used it after his conversion and channeled it into evangelism, into the ministry of the gospel. So I want you to take heart from that tonight and encourage you to pray for terrorists. He was one of the most noted terrorists of the days in which he lived. And he became one of the most noted members of the New Testament church because he was added to the apostolic band. So there's an example, men and women, of the fact that terrorists can be saved. So there were sins of injury, giant sins. Think as well, as you think of the greatness of their sins, sins of indulgence. If you turn over with me for a moment to the New Testament scriptures, there's an important passage. It's Luke chapter 17. I'd like you to look at that. And the verses 26 and 27 of the portion. Remember again the importance of comparing the new with the old with the new. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was, these are the words of Christ. This is one of his great prophetic messages, speaking about the time of the end. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Can emphasize, here's the days in which Noah lived. The Lord Jesus tells us a little about it. They were days when they did eat and they drank. Now remember, we need to eat. You have done a little of that today. We need to drink. So you might ask, and wisely and rightly ask the question, what is wrong with the eating and drinking that is spoken of here? Well, the idea is it's done continually. The idea is gluttony, drunkenness. It's eating and drinking that's done in a riotous and in a sinful manner. Instead of eating to live, they lived to eat. It consumed their lives. It was in complete control of their lives. They indulged in eating and drinking in a sinful and in a sensual manner. Can I remember or remind you tonight, in that context, brethren and sisters, that gluttony is a sin. The Bible teaches that very clearly. And maybe that is your sin. Maybe that's what the Lord needs to challenge and speak to you about this evening. The New Testament talks about those whose God is their belly. Whose God is their belly. Isn't that a very interesting statement? Those that make a God out of food, make a God out of eating. And that's what's being referred to by the Savior there in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. They were giants as far as the sin of indulgence was concerned. I want you to see too, in the light of Luke 17, giants in the sin of immorality. Luke 17, 26 also speaks there about, or verse 27, it speaks about they married wives and they were given in marriage. until the day that Noah entered into the flood. At first glance, remember, that's why it's important to not to be in too big a hurry when you're reading the Bible. Sometimes we read so quickly that we don't get the message. We don't understand what has actually been said. At first glance, all seems well when you read those words. When we think of what's happening in society today, people just living together. So many people talk about their partner nowadays. They're not properly married, a common law arrangement. All seems well here at the first glance, they're marrying. But again, men and women, that is, it's been done continually. Did you notice in verse 27, it doesn't say that they married a wife. It said they married wives. It's in the plural. That is, they were continually marrying. There's no faithfulness. There's no commitment to one's wife, to one's husband. Many of you are familiar with Elizabeth Taylor, the famous English actress. Well, her lifestyle, 8 husbands, 8 marriages, went through so many marriages, became notorious for it. Think of the woman in John chapter 4. She had had 5 husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. She was just in one of those arrangements, living with the man that at that time was her partner. So I want you to understand what's been said. They marry, they divorce, they marry again, divorce, and so on. It's marrying one person after another. That's the sort of days in which Noah lived. That's the sort of days that the Lord Jesus spoke about, foretold, that will come again upon the earth. Giants in the sins of immorality. And there's one other sin that marked the days in which Noah lived. Not an exhaustive list that I'm giving to you by any standard, but one other that I'll emphasize, and that is the sin of indifference. And men and women, that was probably their greatest sin. They were indifferent. They were indifferent to God. They were indifferent and apathetic to God's word. Remember that God sent them a preacher. Isn't that one of the greatest blessings that any community, any city, any country can ever have? As we send out missionaries across the earth, that's a great blessing to any country that God in his providence sends a missionary to. God sent them a preacher, a faithful preacher. He ministered faithfully for 120 years, despite the discouragement, despite the ridicule that he received. God sent them a preacher. God prepared an ark. God prepared for them a place of refuge, a place of shelter, a place of safety from the storm clouds of his judgment. God did miracles among them. Did you ever consider that? In the days of Noah, there were miracles that were wrought. Well, for one thing, the Lord brought the animals in to the ark. Remember one night at the midweek service, we considered that together. Noah didn't have to go out with his sons and gather up all of those wild animals, like you see in some of the cowboy films when they go out to round up all the cattle. That's not what happened. God brought the animals in. It was an example. It was a demonstration of the mighty power of God. So God sent them a preacher. God prepared an ark. God did wonders, signs, wonders, miracles among them. And what was their response to all of that? They couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Isn't it evident all around us, men and women, the same attitude? It was like the days of Amos. There was a famine of the hearing of the word of God. And that's the day that we live in. We rejoice that the door is still open. We rejoice there's still gospel preaching across the land and across the earth. But certainly as far as our land, our province is concerned, there's not the hearing, there's not the ear for the word of God that once there was. That, dear men and women, in the days of Noah was they were so taken up with their sin. They were so taken up with their wicked thoughts, so taken up with their acts of violence, so taken up with their drunkenness, their immorality, their feasting, that they had no time for God. They hadn't even a thought. Remember that in their thoughts it was only evil continually. They hadn't even one thought. Not even one thought for God. and his word. Not even one thought for what God was saying to them. The warning that God was giving them. Such a clear warning. How clear it was. How evident. Such a long warning. 120 years. How God was patient. The long suffering of Noah. The Bible speaks about it in the books of Peter. The long suffering of Noah. Or the long suffering of God in the days of Noah. They hadn't a care for what God was saying to them through his servant. I've been to Port Erin, where we have a little witness in the Isle of Man. Somebody summed up Port Erin just like this. The people are very nice, but they are very indifferent to the things of God. And that's probably, to some extent, what it was like for Noah. Maybe some of the people were very nice. Oh, but they were very indifferent. Very indifferent to him and to his message. And maybe that's true of you. Someone here in this gospel service tonight, that's your attitude. That's your response to the things of God. So they were giants, men and women. They were giants in their stature, just like Goliath, that David fought and killed in the Valley of Elah. They were of the same family. They were giants in their stature. But I want you to see tonight, and how relevant to our day, how it applies to the time in which we live, giants in their sin. These were the days, men and women. These were the times that Noah lived in. I knew we should take some encouragement from that tonight. These are the days in which he raised his voice for God. These are the days in which he preached. These are the people to whom he witnessed for the Lord. Can I ask tonight, seeking to apply the message in the gospel to all that are here, can I ask, is there a sinner in the meeting? Is there a whopping great sinner? Is there one that could be described as a great sinner? You're known for the greatness of your sin, your wickedness, as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight. Well, if there is, can I tell you? Can I tell you some good news? And the good news is, there's hope for you. There's mercy for you. The good news of the gospel is that you can be saved. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, said that where sin abounds, and sin abounds in this land tonight, the tide of evil is coming in around us fast. It's rising quickly. Sin abounding. But the greatness of the gospel is this, men and women. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. God's grace. Doesn't matter how great your sin may be. It doesn't matter how great the sin of our land may be. God's grace is greater still. So I want you to know tonight, there's hope for you. You can be saved. You can know and experience God's so great salvation. And remember this, didn't the Lord Jesus say that these days would return again upon the earth? That's the relevance, men and women. Remember the importance of Bible prophecy. Prophecy is the Lord telling us history before the time. It's history written beforehand. And the Lord Jesus told us in Luke 17, that passage, I encourage you to read it yourself. Read over it a few times this week. That's one of the things he's telling us, that these days, the days of Noah, as well as the days of Noah, he told us that the days of Lot would come again upon the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, in the days preceding the return of Christ, in the days leading up to the second advent, the coming again of the Savior. Those days, those times, those wicked times, those sinful times will come again upon the earth. The Bible says that as time goes on and the end approaches, the culmination of the history of this world in the return of Christ, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. That's what we're to expect. That's what's going to happen. Even men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These days will come again. And I venture to say to you tonight, we live in those days, men and women. We live in those days. You only have to look out upon our own land. You only have to consider what happened in Belfast yesterday, the strength of the LGBT lobby in the days in which we live. 1991, I believe, was the first year. Maybe 100 people took part in that parade, and now it numbers into tens of thousands of people. The days of Lot have come upon the earth. Luke 17 is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Let us be in absolutely no doubt of that, men and women. That emphasizes the sureness of the scriptures, the sureness of the prophecies, the sureness of the things the Lord Jesus said. Though it tarry, wait for it. Remember, we quoted that verse this morning. For it shall surely come. Isn't it true? We have all of this wickedness around us today. Sins of imagination, sins of injury, sins of indulgence, sins of immorality, sins of great indifference towards the things of God. We are in these times, brethren and sisters. And what that indicates to us is this, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Savior taught us when he was here on earth, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, what are you to do? You're to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Remember that we have not yet experienced the fullness of God's redemption. It includes the redemption of our body as well as the redemption of our soul. And when it speaks there of our redemption draweth nigh, it's referring to the coming of Christ and all that will take place in the life of the believer when Jesus Christ comes again. I'm going to finish with this. I've only come to the end of the first point, the first main point of the message tonight, the times in which Noah witnessed. I'll come back to this next Sunday night. I'd like to speak next Sunday night. One of the things I'll speak about anyway is the things of which he witnessed. That's a very interesting subject and a very interesting study. The things of which Noah spoke when he preached, when he delivered God's message to that generation. What sort of thing did he tell them about? We'll look a little at that and some other things, some other matters next Sunday night as well. But I'll finish with this evening, brethren and sisters. And it's a word of encouragement. In a sense, it's the two-edged sword. There's the challenge, but there's also the comfort, the encouragement that comes for it. And the fact is, when you think of the times, such evil days in which Noah was found, and the great work that he did for God, both in building and in preaching, the fact is this, we learn, if Noah could witness for God at such a time, in such a day, then so can you. So can you. We have taken great pains tonight to emphasize that these days will return, that we're living in these days. We're certainly living in the beginning of these days, the end time age, the wicked end time age. So if Noah could witness for God in such a time, and if he could be faithful to God in that witness for all of those years, then so can you. So can we as a church. And I say to you tonight, be encouraged by that, brethren and sisters. He is an example for us. And in the example that he sets, all these things Paul said to the Romans, referring back to the Old Testament scripture, the Old Testament record, Paul said all these things are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. There's lessons for us to learn. These things Paul said to the Corinthians, chapter 10, are our ensamples. They're an example for us to learn from. And Noah's example teaches us, it shows it's possible. It's gloriously possible, even in the worst of times, to remain faithful to God and to maintain a clear, steadfast witness for Christ and his gospel. It's not a common thing, but it's a possible thing, brethren and sisters. And I say to you tonight, may God help us. We need his help. The cry of the psalmist, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Spurgeon preaches that text under good advice, I think it is, for the worst of times, something along those lines, and it certainly is good advice for the worst of times. But we need to cry, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the godly men and women. Many have been taken home to glory, taken from our midst. We miss deeply their presence. The faithful fail from among the children of men. We need the help of God in our own witness, their influence, their encouragement that meant so much to us that we no longer have amongst us. We need the help of God, brethren and sisters, that we will remain faithful to the Lord. And on that day when we stand before him, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So that's a little of the things of which Noah witnessed. And I pray the Lord will make these thoughts and truths faithful